Amen. I'd like to welcome everyone that's here tonight, and we'll try and get done on time. This may not quite get done on time because this is a rather long lesson. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Now, I know the last time I was up here, I taught the first part of a study called The Wonderful Numberer, and we had gotten into the numbers and the biblical meaning of the numbers all the way from 1 through 5. That's all we got to. And I promised that we would go from 6 all the way up, at least as far as we could get. But as I was working on the study tonight, my computer decided to do an update, and I could not shut it off in time to make it do what I wanted. So I will finish that study. I have it almost 100%. You know, and it's going to be really interesting. If you want to do some work before that, you could go and look up the meaning of the number 6, which you all already know, right? What's the number 6 mean? Number of the man. But it has some also other interesting things. So we'll God willing, we'll do that next week. But I wanted to instead, since I was not able to get that completely finished, I didn't want to half teach it. So I thought I would teach something that I haven't taught in a very long time. But I was interviewed about 2 weeks ago on a podcast, a Bible podcast that Parkway Church does. And I was teaching on something related to this. So I decided tonight that since I can't teach the one that I was working on, I will teach this. And it's probably been 5 or 6 years since I taught this, and it's called The Laws of Perfection. And I'm going to go fairly fast because this is a very long lesson. And it really has to do, again, with the nature of creation and the nature of God. And as I said Sunday, why did he create us? We were talking, as the lesson is, was Sunday, was for his glory. And I explained that, you know, children, if you're looking at it just as a purely logical investment, it makes no sense. Going to take away your freedom, cost you tons of money, take away your time, and there's no guarantee that they're going to do what you want. But yet we still do it. Amen? And the only explanation is to show our love. The reason why God created us was so that he could show us his love. And so I want to see how far we can get in this lesson, and it's a very deep lesson, but I call it The Laws of Perfection. And part one is the knowledge of good and evil, and what that really meant. What did that really mean? And how does that affect us today? And part two I call The Curse That Was a Blessing. And part three, The Light of the World. Psalms 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." By definition, as I've said so many times, God can only do good things. He can't do bad things on purpose. He can't make someone. So when someone is born that is crippled or diseased, it's not because God did it that way. That's not in his nature. It's not possible. Amen. He can only create perfect things. So what we're seeing when we see all these things in the world is a fallen world, is a world that has natural evil and it has personal evil, but it's not the world that God originally created. So today I want to start, as I always do, in Genesis 2:17. God put a warning in verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Amen. So this is part one, the knowledge of good and evil. And we're going to look at the real nature of man before the fall, the origin of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because many people ask, if he's God, then why did he put the tree there knowing that they would eat it? And that's a good question. And what was the actual death mechanism? Because they didn't appear to die right away that day. And what was really going on? What were the spiritual forces that were acting in the garden behind the scenes? And then I have this question: what's the strongest spiritual force, and how it relates to the Garden of Eden story? So I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So when it said that God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness," what that meant was that God first created a soul, which is a spiritual concept. It's not a material thing. You can't weigh a soul in a bucket. It's not made of atoms. It's a spiritual concept. So when God first created us, he created our soul, the unique part of us that makes us who we are. Amen. It's the part that still goes on after this vessel, this shell, decays. Aren't you glad of that? Yeah. Amen. Paul said, if this our earthly tabernacle should be dissolved, we have a home. We have another one that's not earthly, not made with hands. So we have another tabernacle. So man was created a spirit being. That's what we are in essence, a spirit being, a soul that's immaterial, but that is our essence. It contains our humanity, our thoughts. That's where that all comes from. And I really believe that that's what it meant when it said in his image, because the Bible tells us that God is a spirit. If we were created in his image, then we would have been created a spirit being. But God wanted to do more than just create a spirit being. He had already made many spirit beings. That's what the angels are. In Hebrews, it tells us that, are they not all ministering spirits? That means servants sent forth to minister. That means to serve those who are the heirs of salvation. You know who that is? Us. The angels were created to look after us. Amen. Amen. And the Lord God made man in his image, and he gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl, everything that creepeth upon the earth. Amen. After God had done that, he created us, as I said, a soul, which is a spirit being. And then he took that spirit, that soul, which was immaterial, that you couldn't see, that was in another dimension, the spirit dimension, but he wanted to go further than he had gone with just his angels. He placed that in a fleshly body. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed. And we have studied that before. That was the Holy Spirit. That was the covering spirit. That was God's spirit. That's what made us part of his creation. And man became a living soul. That meant no longer just a spirit, but something that you could see tangible, a living soul. So we see that were three words used in the first three chapters of Genesis: created in chapter 1, formed in chapter 2, and made. We were created out of nothing, a soul, a spirit being. And then we were formed a fleshly body. And then we were made a living soul by the incorporation of that soul into a body. And then, of course, God breathed his spirit covering, which made us a three-part being. And that is what, as I've said so many times, makes us a son of God. It is God's spirit that makes us a son of God. Deuteronomy 33:12 says, "And the beloved of the Lord," I've preached that before, that we are his beloved. I taught that Sunday about the little baby. No matter what the baby looks like, to the mother, he's beautiful. We are his beloved, and the Lord shall cover him. We were covered with the glory of God. We were covered with the Spirit. At least Adam and Eve was. That's what it says. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long. Do you know when a hen is hatching chicks, what do they do with the eggs? They go and sit on it and cover them, protect them. That's the picture we see in Psalms 91. Under his wings, what does it say? Under his wings we shall Amen, amen. All the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. So the fourth creative word, first we have, created, formed, made, and then the next created word is breathed. And then, of course, the next one, which we're not going to get into tonight, is plant. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Revealed in John is what happened in Genesis. In Genesis, all it tells us that God breathed, but it doesn't say what it was. It's revealed what God did in Genesis in John when Jesus repeated it to once again make us sons of God. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. John 6:63 says, the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. There is a very close connection between word and spirit. And I've taught that when the spirit dimension comes into our dimension, it first comes as a word. First comes as a word. Isn't that what Satan did? What was the first word Satan said? Three words. Hath God said. Wasn't it? When spirit, either good or bad, manifests in our dimension, it's first going to come as a word. You know why? Because it goes to our faith organ, right? Our imagination. He planted a seed in Eve to look at the tree and start to question and wonder, hath God said? Hath God said? So a spirit is going to first manifest primarily as a word, either good or bad. John 6:63 says the words that Jesus spoke, that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, but they're more than that. They are life. When Jesus told them that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood, a whole bunch of disciples went away. They did not wait to hear the explanation. They just said, this is too much. And he turned to his disciples, the 12 that were left, and said, will you guys want to go too? And Peter said, but whither shall we go? You know why? Only you have the words of life. They are spirit and they are life. Well, I did put it in here. The fifth word of creation. So we have created, formed, made, breathed. And I told you what the other one was. Planted. Because the next thing God did was planted. Nata. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And of course, we've taught this so many times. What did God plant? Seed. God planted a seed. So we see that even the natural part of man was being fed by the seed that came from God. The spiritual was being fed through the spirit covering. Because we just read the scripture in John 6:63 that says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So that when Satan came in Luke to replicate the temptation of Eve, that's what he was trying to do. And what did Jesus say to him? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. That is so true. That is so true. And if we could really grasp that and get that word in us every day, that's what is going to truly keep us. So the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And of course, we know what he planted, because in Luke, it explains it. It said that he planted, in the parable, the seed. And in Luke 8, it says, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And the Lord God said, and now here is a biological law. The Lord God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. And it was so. You know what that tells me? When God first created plants, all of them multiplied or reproduced by way of seeds. Right? Herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. So this was a biological law, and it was so. See, anytime God says, I've said, let there be, the only answer is, and it was so. Satan's word, though, comes in opposition to what God's word is. His word was, hath God said? God had said. He had said what? Let there be. Satan's word is the opposite. Hath God said? His first three words were in complete opposition to bring doubt, to sow a seed, a different seed, a different word, to bring doubt, to kill faith. But let's look at this. Matthew 13:23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that what? The Bible makes it plain what it's all about. Do you understand that I actually believe Adam and Eve lived by the word of God? Think about it. Let me read this again. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he, the Bible is telling us something here, is he that what? Heareth the word. See, God spoke to Adam and Eve every day. We know that because when they were hiding, what was the first time it says? The voice of the Lord, what? Walking in the garden. The voice. Isn't that what Jesus said? You see, we're actually getting revelation that we don't even realize when Satan came to tempt him. What did Jesus say again? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. And Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy, where deliberately God led them into a place where there was no food. They were led into a desert where there was no food, no water, nothing. How could they live? Only by the word of God. Isn't that right? Only by the word of God. Only by the word of God. Only by the word of God could they live. And truthfully today, that's the only way we're going to live. You know what Satan will come and whisper to you? Hath God said? You can actually make your own food. Isn't that what he was trying to do with Jesus? Just turn this stone into bread. Just go do this job, or that's what you need to put your faith in, your job or your education or your status. But that was not the truth. It's only by the word of God. So the Bible tells us and gives us a revelation here that the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. I was listening to something on the internet. My wife was playing a message, and someone challenged the pastor and said, listen, man, I wouldn't want to be you, because the Bible says you're going to be held accountable for everything you teach. And that's true. But in this parable, it wasn't the sower that was held accountable. It was the ground. It was the ground. Because whatever I teach, it's just the seed. It's up to you whether it grows. And the sower is almost not mentioned once he sows it. It's all about the ground. Some bringeth forth 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So the Bible makes it plain that the seed represents the word of God. I really believe that what God planted in the garden was another form of the word of God in a more literal sense. So that Adam literally, when he ate the fruit, he was actually eating the word of God. We know this is going to be so because in Revelation, we see the tree of life, right? And it yields 12 manner of fruit. And what does it say the fruit are for? The leaves are for? The healing of the nations. There's going to be an actual tree of life that's going to be for the healing of the nations. So the seed planted by God in the garden then also represents the word of God. The spirit that was given, the cover was the word of God that was feeding his soul. But for the fleshly part of man, he actually also ate of the tree. So the food, both substances, came from God. The physical seed came from what God had planted, and the spiritual also came from the covering that God had given. 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Why? For his seed, which is what? The word of God. If you can hold the word of God in you, you're going to be a lot more powerful. Because the Bible says he has elevated his word even above his name. That this whole universe is framed and held together just by the word of God. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. So the spiritual seed that fed man was from the breath, which is the word for the soul. So man's two natures, the body and the soul, were sustained by the word of God. And again, that's just fulfilling what Jesus told Satan when he came to tempt him. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When we look in Revelation, and I'm going off topic here, but that's okay a little bit. In Revelation chapter 4, John has his vision, and he sees God sitting on a throne. What is he holding? Anyone remember? What is he holding? A scroll, a book, a scroll, a parchment. John starts to weep. Why is John weeping? Nobody could open it. So why did John know that somebody's supposed to open it? Why did he was weeping because there was no one found worthy to open it, but why did it need to be opened? I'll let you think about that. We'll get to that. But later on, we see the angel takes a book, a scroll, and tells him to do what? Eat all of it. Do you understand that the word of God, we've got to eat all of it? I'll get back to that. So there was natural food for the body, which was the word of God. Because John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In the beginning in Genesis, God planted. And we know that what he planted was a seed. He could have spoken the garden into existence, but he was making a point. So the word was in the beginning in the garden as literal food and spiritual food, because that's what John 1 says, in the beginning. Just as in Genesis 1:1 it says in the beginning, John 1:1 gives the spiritual background. Genesis 1:1 gives the literal background, but John 1:1 is giving the spiritual background, as if you could take the cover off and see what was really going on. In the beginning was the word, and that word was with God, and that word was God. The word was in the beginning. So if the word was in the beginning, that means the word was in the garden. Amen. I know I'm going real fast tonight because this is such a long lesson. I'm trying to get it done. Luke 4:4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. If we were to actually take that literally, you know, we'd be eating up the Bible. We would be doing what the Muslims do. You know what they do in their madrasas? That's 90% of what they do in the madrasas. Anyone know what they do? They read the Quran. They do more than read the Quran. They memorize it. They commit it to memory. They're eating the Quran. That's what they're doing. They're eating the Quran. I heard a statistics about Bible quizzing, and it was saying that young people who do Bible quizzing, like 90% of them stay in the church. You know what they've been doing all this time? Memorizing. Because if they've been doing Bible quizzing for years, they're just memorizing the word. You know what they're doing, and they're not even realizing it? They're eating the word of God. They're eating the word of God. I've said so many times, we need a scripture for every situation we're facing. And if you don't, you know what you're doing? You're fighting the devil naked with no defense. So there was natural food for the body. And the out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Remember that. What does it say? Made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Luke 8:11 makes it explicit what this is all about. What does it say? The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Why we're so weak and defenseless is because we have not been eating from the word of God. You know, and I'm guilty of that. I'll eat from the news. My wife will have to turn it off. She says, oh, that's just terrible news. Just stop watching it. I'll eat a whole plate of news And it's terrible news too. It's all of terrible murders, earthquakes, wars, instead of eating from the Word of God. And then we wonder if why we're spiritually weak. Imagine if we had been Popeye and eating God's Word. Popeye, I mean, that's a long time ago. Nobody, you youngsters don't remember that cartoon. That dates me. I don't know what the equivalent is now. They probably don't have a Popeye the Sailor Man, right? But he had to eat spinach. And anytime he ate the spinach, you know, his muscles would pop up. Amen. So Luke 8:11 makes it explicit. Now the parable is this. It can't be any plainer. The seed is the word. So what God was planting was the word of God symbolically. What Adam was told to eat in every aspect was the word of God. That's what gave him eternal life. So the spiritual food for the soul came from the spirit covering, and then the natural food for the body came from the things that God had planted. The breath then was the word, God's spirit that channeled life and provided the covering. So by quoting this, Jesus was giving us a revelation. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So it was the very breath of life, because how do you make words? You first have to take a breath. So do you understand, although it's not explicit in Genesis, God was speaking to man. That's what kept him alive. It was the very breath of life that animated, brought to life the fleshly body. And Jesus says that, the words that I speak, they are spirit. And no wonder when we get the Holy Spirit, there is words that come out. There's words that come out. It may not make sense to you, but there's breath involved. There is words that are being formed. Because the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The Bible says that the Spirit maketh intercession, groanings that cannot be uttered, because we don't even know what we ought to pray for. You know? I'm on the internet, so I have to be careful what I say. But I went to the dentist. Was it yesterday? Yesterday. I went to the dentist, and I thought I had a cavity. And she said, well, you don't have a cavity, but... Then she showed me all these x-rays and pictures she had took. She said, this is where your enamel should be, and you have no enamel. So you don't have a hole, but what you've got is the second part of the tooth. So you need to get enamel on all of these teeth, all of them. All of them, she said. And it's going to cost the price of a new car. So I said, call the dealership. I'll buy the car. If I was going to spend that money, I'll go buy the car. You know what I told her? I said, it's okay, we're all going to die. And she looked so shocked. I said, listen, I'm 63. I only have 7 more years. Don't listen, Yvonne. Please don't listen. I said, she was just looking at me strange, because she does go to some church. So I said, 70. So I've only got, so I don't need to invest in $50,000 for some enamel. I'm quite happy. I know where I'm going. Aren't you happy that you're going to die? You should walk up to people and tell them that. Are you happy that you're going to die? Christians should be able to say, for the most part, yes. Because I know where I'm going. My house is already paid for. It's been furnished. He said, let not your heart be troubled. So I told her, if I was going to do that, just send me to the dealership. I'm not going to your prothodontist or whatever it is. Amen. Let's continue. Corinthians 15:37 explains it. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. This is nothing. This is like a seed. It's nothing to what God has got planned or what Adam and Eve looked like. Just a small little revelation happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. For just a little bit, God showed them what a son of God looks like. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, what God has got prepared for them that love him. Do you love him tonight? Is your hope not down here but up there? I could truthfully tell her, listen, I might die in 7 years. I don't care. She looked shocked. She didn't know what to say. But. That's all she could say. But I was serious. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat, that's us, of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So we see some hints here of what it was the tree of life really was. Wisdom, Proverbs 3:18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. So figuratively, the word, the good seed, was planted symbolically. Now, when a seed is planted, what happens to it? It has to figuratively die to change. If the seed remains the way it is, it's forever just a seed. But if it dies, what happens? Something happens. It changes and grows into something beautiful. Do you understand that we figuratively, we've been eating the word of God, eating the word of God, eating the word of God like this caterpillar. That's what a caterpillar does. All they do is eat, 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 so that they can eventually change. Change. That's all they do. They will eat, eat. That's the whole thing they do is eat. That's what God really gave us as a symbol, to eat his word so that we can be changed. Amen. It is in Christ's death, the seed, because Jesus is what? The word of God? Luke tells us that the word is the seed. So in a sense, when Christ died, we have redemption in his resurrection. Sorry, we have redemption in his death, and resurrection, we have eternal life, because that seed was planted. The Bible says then, if we have been what? Planted together with him, then we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Isn't that awesome? So let's go to where this other tree came from. This other tree that's caused us all these problems and all these issues. Genesis 1:12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Is that what it says? God saw that it was good. I'm going to read it again. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow. Now you got to listen to this very carefully. Every tree that is pleasant to the sight. So it was not God that made anything to grow that was not pleasant to the sight, because that was the scripture say. So if you're looking at an ugly thorn bush, the Bible says that was not in his original creation, because you know what that will do to you, and good for food. Now, you have to understand in the Hebrew, when you get to this verse, people misread it and think that God planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but in the Hebrew, it is separated grammatically. And so I highlighted the colon there, the semicolon. So out of the ground the Lord made to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food. Colon. New thing. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when you run those two parts together, it would imply that God planted, but it's not. It's separated by the colon. All it's saying is that there was another tree there. Now let me go on and make my case. Genesis 1:29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. Because the seed represents what? the word, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, it shall be for you for meat or food. So every tree and every plant that God gave, it had a seed because he had planted the word. And God said, I have given it to you for food. So although it's not explicit, it's very clear then that since God had not given the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for food, it either had no seed or not his seed in it, and he didn't plant it. He didn't plant it. That's what I'm saying. Because what does the tree of the knowledge of good and evil do if you eat of it? The Bible said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Let's say it again. You shall. Are you sure that's what it says? So, can you call something that's going to kill you when you eat it good for food? Well, let's read this again. I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food. In the other scripture, he said, good for food. God gave them everything that was good for food. So the tree of the knowledge and the evil, you have a very strange definition if you call that good for food, because God already said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? So that tells me that it wasn't something that came from God, because he gave them every tree and herb that had a seed. Seed. You ever picked up some grapes? And of course, we all go for the what kind of grapes? Seedless. The devil grapes. The devil grapes. Why? Because it's easy. It's pleasant to the sight. And it looks good for food. But it has no seed in it. You know what that means? It cannot reproduce. Cannot reproduce. So let's continue here. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil had no seed, because God said he gave every tree and every herb that had seed in it. And in the other scripture it said, everything he planted was good for food. And as I said, you have a strange definition if you say the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is good for food, when God already told you it's poisonous, it will kill you, and he warned us. Amen? Let me look at this. Let me explain it, because Jesus explains all of this by revelation. In Matthew 13:24, Jesus was always having parables about seeds and sowers. But some of the parables he taught, disciples didn't get it. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed. Isn't that what it said in Genesis? Everything I've done is good. Good seed in his field. But while men slept, who? His enemy came and sowed tares, weeds, poison among the wheat, Gentiles, and went his way. Isn't that what that scripture says? His disciples didn't understand this parable, so they had to ask him after everyone left. And he said, in this very chapter, it says, it's not given to everyone to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, but only to you. Now, here's my proof. Matthew 15:13. Here's what Jesus said. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted. What does that imply? What does that imply? That there were plants planted by someone else. Doesn't it? Else he wouldn't have to say that. Okay? What does Jesus say? Every plant. When does it say God planted? When did it mention explicitly that God planted? In Genesis. The fourth word. Created, formed, made, breathed. Sorry, fifth word. Planted. What does it say here? What did Jesus give us a revelation? Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be done what? Rooted up. Now, when we go to Revelation and we get back in the garden, the first thing we're told about the garden is it's got a tree in there. It's called the Tree of Life. And it's on both sides of the river. And it has yields 12 manner of fruits. And the Bible goes into great detail about the Tree of Life. But you know what? We never again hear about this other tree. You know why? Let me read the scripture that tells you the answer. Matthew 15:13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Shall be rooted up. Do you think your heavenly Father would put you in a garden with a lion and lock you in there and say, don't go near the lion? Deliberately? No, no, no. The Bible says our Father gives good gifts. There's no variableness about him. He gave good gifts. Good gifts. So, I just want to let you know, that tree was not put there by God. Was not put there by God. So, how do we learn? How do you learn? Repetition, yes, but more basic than that. How do you learn? Like when you go to school, what do they usually give you to learn? Homework. How do they give you the homework? You read it. Most of us years ago learned through books, right? You had to actually open a book and read it and get a pen and write some stuff. Today, a lot of people are now learning by just looking at stuff. But in either case, you had to use what sense? Your vision. Your vision. How many senses do we have? What are they? Okay, which one do you want to give away? You sure you can't do without one of them? I mean, even the one that we think is probably, you know, smell. You know, food tastes terrible when you got a cold. You just, because you're missing a whole sensation. I believe actually man had more senses, but we'll get into that. So we learn through our five present senses. That's the only way we can get information, is through our senses, right? So when they want to deprive someone of information, you know what they do? And lock them up in a box. That's a punishment in prison. They call it segregation. They put you in a box. They don't give you nothing much. You may get a book, and you're allowed to come out maybe 1 hour a day. And you just sit in the box. You have no one to talk to. You can't really see out because the window is way up here. And they deprive you of any kind of sensation. And that is almost a torture. So we gain understanding through our senses. Well, what is knowledge? Let's look at this, because the tree was called the knowledge of good or evil. And we know that we get our information, our knowledge, then through our senses. That's the only way we can learn, through taste. Do you know how many, name a taste. There's actually five. I learned one the other day. Sweet, sour, bitter. There's a strange one, they call it, it's E-D-A-M-E. Look it up, edam something, edamame or something. It's comes from a Japanese sauce or something that they've now called a new unique taste. A unique taste, E-D-A-M something, edam something. I was doing a crossword puzzle and that was the answer. Okay, so we have taste, touch, smell, sight, and what's the last one? Hearing. And the trouble with all our senses is that they can deceive us, right? And the last time I taught this, I put two things up there. See, it looks like it could be, but it can't. And that looks like they're all intersecting, but they're not. They're not intersecting. They're all separate rings. That shows you our senses can be lied to. Me too. But those things, that railing there, you can't actually make that in real life. It's an optical illusion. So truth is if we measure truth by our senses, that means sometimes we can be wrong. We can be deceived because we are judging by our senses. So truth for the atheist, the unbeliever, is only gained what he can taste, touch, see, smell, hear, or measure. So, you know, when you say the sky is blue, he has to actually see that it is blue. So truth to them is only knowledge gained through the senses that they believe agrees with what they can say. So when they say the sky is blue, okay, I agree with that. I can see it for myself, right? The show me state, Missouri, right? The show me state, that means you have to prove it to me. Doubting Thomas came from Missouri. Unless I see the nail prints, unless I can put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. But the most powerful sense, and who can remember this. What is the most powerful sense? Now, it's not sight, believe it or not. It's hearing. Hearing. And why is hearing the most powerful sense? Why is hearing, according to my definition, the most powerful sense? The reason is, sight can only show you what's right in front of you. But hearing can take you to places you've never been to or can't even see. If you close your eyes and I say Paris and you see this Eiffel Tower, you can kind of see it in your mind, though you may never get to Paris. Or if I say Washington, D.C. with the monument or Statue of Liberty, immediately in your mind, that statue comes to mind. So hearing, the Bible tells us, is our most powerful sense. It connects the physical world very powerfully, sight does, with our brains. Sight connects what we see very powerfully. That's why when we want to imagine something, what do? Close our eyes, because the sight is saying, no, you're not, you're right here, you're not in Paris. Now, Sister Melissa, you've been to Paris, right? Who else? Who's been anywhere else? Who's been outside? Okay, you've been to Jordan. What's the most memorable thing you can remember? Petra. Okay, so you can remember Petra. And if you close your eyes, you're almost there. You can see that orange thing that looks like a cathedral that's been carved out of the sandstone. You can almost be there. You can remember how hot it was and dry. And it's just because I'm saying it. But if you open your eyes, it's very hard to get your brain there. Because the physical sight grounds you in this, what you can see. And that's the Christian's problem, is that it's what we can see. Isn't that what Elijah's servant had the problem? Sorry, Elisha's servant. The army of the Syrians were surrounding him in this city. They sent a whole army to get Elisha and his servant, and he could see the trouble they were in. You can always see the trouble you're in, can't you? You can see the bill before you. You can see the family situation. It's right there. You can see it. But you can't see God's solution, not by these eyes. You can't see that God's solution because it's not physical. As I said, it's like when you go into court and they ask you to put your hand on the Bible and to affirm or swear. Anyone remember what you're supposed to say? I swear to tell the truth. Okay, so some of you have done it. Some of you know the drill. But here's the thing. Your sight is the truth, but it's not the whole truth. That's the problem. What Elisha's servant could see with the soldiers was the truth. But it wasn't the whole truth. When Elisha said to him, open his eyes, then he could see that little band of soldiers was surrounded by the whole hillside. The whole surrounding hills was covered with the angels of God. See, so what we can see in our situation is the truth, but it's not the whole truth. When Eve looked at the tree, she could see truth, but it wasn't the whole truth. That's why the Bible says in the New Testament, Eve was deceived, because she was looking with her eyes. When we look with our eyes, we're going to be deceived. Doesn't the Bible say, lean not to our what? I mean, if you lean to your own understanding, look at how many people that tripped up in the Bible. Abraham. Sarah says, you know, I'm getting old, and maybe God's plan is for us to use this servant girl here to give you a son. I mean, it looked very logical. We're both getting old. It's been 20 years. God hasn't done anything yet. Maybe that's his plan. You know, you see how easy it is for us to work it out ourselves? I do it all the time. So the most powerful sense, and you look at that thing there, that's not real either. If you follow the lines, that can't be actually real either. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes not by sight, not by what you can see, but by what? Hearing. And hearing, again, it always comes back to the same thing, the Word of God. The Word of God. Let's say it together, the Word of God. Okay, so hearing is our most powerful sense because it connects with our mind more than our physical body. You know, just a song that you hear playing can take you back 20 years, and suddenly you're in a place where you first heard that song, right? Because of hearing. Our faith organ, of course, which is our imagination, we can, with our mind, see things that don't have a physical reality. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's our problem. That's really our problem today. Satan has still got those three words whispering in all of our ears. Hath God said? Hath God said? Look at the mess you're in. Look at the things you got to deal with. Hath God said? Here, look at that tree. It looks so beautiful. This is an easier way out. But if we do that, we're walking by sight. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That means God spoke them into existence. They did not have a reality before he said, let there be. So now, how did Adam gain knowledge? He was a soul interlocked with a fleshly body, indwelt and surrounded by a spirit covering. So that's why he wasn't walking by sight. Otherwise, the Bible said he would know he was naked. That's how I can tell he was not going by what his physical things told him. Because he was naked, but he didn't realize it until after they had sinned. Why? Because the Spirit filtered out all of the noise. When you're walking in the Spirit, it's going to filter out all that noise that Satan is saying to you. All that stuff that he's trying to take away your faith. All the stuff he's trying to depress you with. See, the Spirit is a covering. And that's what really kept him. Now, the revelation is before he sinned, the only physical words he ate came from the seed that God planted. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb that has a seed, which is upon the face of all the earth. And every tree in which is the fruit of a tree that yields seed. That's why I said, tree of knowledge and good and evil could not have had a seed, because God said he's given every tree that has a seed, at least his seed. To you it shall be for meat. So the only knowledge words Adam and Eve heard came from God, first through the spirit covering, because remember how God created him? Breathed. And then the physical came from the seed that God had planted. And Jesus, when he was speaking to the devil, he was quoting from Deuteronomy, because God deliberately took the children of Israel into a place where they had nothing to depend on, nothing that they could do. They couldn't plant anything. There was no water. It was a desert. It was sand. The only way all of these 600,000 men plus women and children could live was by what? Every word. The Bible in the New Testament tells us that the rock that followed them was who? Was Christ. Every day they got up, there was a cloud that covered them. At night, that cloud turned into a pillar of fire. See, God was showing the only way we're going to make it through this desert is by Him, by depending on Him, not on ourselves, not on our education, not on our wisdom, not on our thinking. So let's look at his senses. So what did he see? His physical senses also bring him knowledge, yes, but they were filtered by the spirit covering. That's why, although he was physically naked, the Bible said they did not know they were naked. You know why? They were covered with the glory of God. That's a brand new suit that doesn't wear out, that shines so brightly you can't look at it. Before he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the only knowledge of reality man had was from God. It was whatever words God said. We see that right at the end of Revelation, because the book, the scroll with the words, is given to the prophet. And what does the angel tell him to do? Eat all of it. Eat all of it, because the words that I speak, John 6:63, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. So the only knowledge of reality man had was what God told him. He had no other knowledge. And that's why when God spoke to him after he had sinned, he didn't ask him, did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, who told you? In other words, you had some words, you ate some seed, you got some words from somebody other than me. This is the sin of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, who told you this? We were naked and were afraid. They were naked before. But God had declared them righteous and innocent and perfect. Why? Because they were covered with his spirit. But physically, they were still naked. But they couldn't know it because they were listening to God's word. They were eating from God's garden. They were receiving the seed, which is the word of God. Once they sinned, something happened, though. The spirit covering that protected them, that gave them full truth, went away. So now they had to depend on their physical senses, which doesn't tell the whole truth. The Bible said that they saw that they were naked. So God knew immediately that they had received a word, someone else's word. The sin of the knowledge of good and evil comes down to eating from the devil's tree. It really means listening to his word. Hath God said that he loves you? How could all of this happen? How could all of this happen? Hath God said, how could you lose your job? Within a year, twice. But you know what? I don't think I look worried, because I'm not. And God's going to do another miracle for me. Amen. Amen. So the only knowledge of reality man had was from God. Again, really, just revealing what Jesus told Satan. He came with the same thing. Listen to me, I've got a better plan. Turn this stone into bread. Jesus said, no, you got my brother Adam. You got him with that trick. You got Eve with that trick. But here's something for you. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Let's say every word. Every word. Every word. That means every word. It doesn't mean some of the words. It means every word. It means when God says, I'm not going to leave you, he means every word. When he says, lean not to your own understanding, he means every word. I'm trying to finish. Now, the miracle about a baby is a baby has all the senses, but there's only one of them that's effective. Baby can't see what's going on outside. This is what Adam and Eve was like. The spirit was like the womb. It protected them. So a baby is protected by the womb's covering. The baby's reality is just warmth and protection of the womb. It knows only what the womb provides. It's fed through the placenta, and the placenta filters out 99% of anything bad. That's what it's for. It's a filter. In fact, the two blood streams don't even touch. If they do, the baby gets blood poisoning. So the two blood streams, the mother's blood stream and the baby's blood stream, exchange oxygen and good stuff and bad stuff, you know, the waste goes. But the two blood stream, because there's a filter. That's what the spirit covering was for. But there is one thing that gets through to the baby all the way from the outside, and you all know what it is, don't you? Sound, hearing. Faith comes by. So the only thing that the baby can hear, even before it's born, it's the mother or the father's voice. That's what Adam and Eve could experience. That's what kept them. So the knowledge was from God. They could be, again, the proof is that they didn't know that they were naked. And they were both naked and were not ashamed until suddenly the covering went. When the covering went, then they could see themselves using just their senses. So man's interface to the world was the spirit covering, and therefore was by faith. And that's what we still need today. When we can walk totally by faith, then we're going back to the garden is what it really means. Now faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. The evidence of things you can't even see. Some years ago, before we had the air conditioning and the heat and all of this, I don't know if you guys who were here remembered me declare that God was going to do all those things for us. Does anyone here remember me declaring that? And, you know, we're talking six figures of money to do all of that, which we had none of it. But this is God's church, not mine, so it's his problem. The evidence of things you can't see right now. The evidence of things not... So let's reverse the definition. If you have a belief of things not seen, you're operating in faith. So faith, then, is a spiritual law. I told you about a biological law when God said, let everything reproduce after its kind. Well, faith, then, is a spiritual law. And in fact, faith is just like the other law, which is God's love. I'm trying to hurry here. And is a fundamental spiritual law, just like their physical laws. So faith is the ability to make real what you can't see. I'm going to skip some of this because I want to get to the end. So it was the word of God that was his covering. If you could stand with me, we're not going to get through this. I have 10 more slides to go. So I'm not going to try and go through all of them. But I hope tonight that you will put down the tree knowledge. We're all cursed now with the fact that we have to once again get back the covering spirit. And even when we do get it back, we're still stuck with this body, which does not yet have the ability to completely block out or rely totally on God. And so Satan is always whispering to us, hath God said? You know, as I said, the proof of what the true sin was what God asked Adam and Eve. Who told you that you were naked? Think about that. Who did I tell you that? A baby is born naked, but that's not what the parents are looking at. What a beautiful baby. How beautiful is this baby? Baby is naked. Now, if that was a 21-year-old man ran in here naked, wouldn't be good. We wouldn't be looking at how beautiful the man is. We'd be saying, I hope. See, God declared you when you were baptized and filled with his spirit. He declared you covered. He declared you whole. He declared you full. He declared you complete, because he's not looking at you as you are. In Romans, it says he calls those things that are not as though they are, because that's how God operates. He looks at the end of the matter. He looks at the end of the matter. If we could start to walk in faith and not by sight, and not fulfill what I call the tree knowledge. And it's so hard because we have this physical body that's always trying to say, hath God said? We pray for a healing, but the pain is speaking to us. Hath God said? We have a financial crisis, and the words are speaking to us. Hath God said? We have a family issue, and Satan is speaking to us. Hath God said? But you know what God has said? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Who can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? It goes to list height, nor depth, nor it goes on to say, any other creature, if you are in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to close tonight, but I want you to know God loves you. The moment you were born, he had a plan, as it says in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. And if we will hold on by faith and not walk by sight and understand, he didn't plant that tree. And it's not going to be there in the garden when we get there. Only will be the tree of life. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Let it find good soil. Let the word find good soil. Let the word find good soil tonight. Oh God, build our faith that we will trust you no matter what we're facing, Lord, that you will lead and direct us, that your spirit will cover us, Lord, that you will anoint us, that you will give us strength, oh God, by your word, hallelujah, which you created this whole universe by. Lord, we thank you right now in faith, believing that you have this, that you have got every situation. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your covering, your delivering power, and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Give God a praise offering tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. In the end, we win. In the end, we win. God bless you. Come on out Thursday night for prayer. Greet one another. Amen. And don't let the devil tell you, hath God said. Tell the devil, it is written. God bless you in Jesus' name.